A very good morning to you. Let me start with Ondangwa people. Good morning, Ondangwa people. First, you have to greet the people, you know, in your household. So, good morning, Ondangwa people. And good morning, the rest of Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Thanks for joining us this morning. It is a Friday. So it is a Friday, and thank God it is a Friday. And how are you, wherever you are in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave? I hope you're okay. I hope you wake up feeling, you know, it's a Friday, so you probably wake up feeling energetic today because you're looking forward to a weekend. So if you are on the road, please go into work and also maybe taking kids and children to schools, wherever you find yourself and driving, make sure that you are driving safe and you obeying all the rules on the road just to keep yourself safe and those around you. So good morning to you. This is Eagle FM. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. This is a show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our life. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And if you're joining us, welcome. It is a Friday. It's Friday the 16th of May, and the year is 2025. What happened on this day in Africa? So, well, nothing much really on this day, on the 16th of May. May the 16th is commemorated as a SPLA Day in South Sudan, marking the founding of the Sudan People Liberation Army, SPLA, in 1983. So the SPLA played a important role in South Sudan's struggle for independence, which was achieved in 2011. So this day honors the sacrifice made during the long conflict and celebrate the nation's journey towards that sovereignty. So there are also two international day observed on May the 16th. So one is the International Day of Living Together in Peace. Today it's an International Day of Living Together in Peace. So the day promote peace, tolerance, inclusion, understanding, and solidarity among individuals and community. So this is a very important day today. So whether it's in your house, in your communities, so take it as an opportunity maybe to renew and to promote peace, to promote tolerance, to promote inclusion and understanding and solidarity. So among yourself and among in your company as well. So please, institution also use this day to promote this kind of values and virtues that would actually help your company to work more, cohesive and grow. Now, the other day is International Day of Light, celebrated to appreciate the role light plays in science, in culture, in art, in education, and also sustainable development. So, International Day of Light. Yeah, and it's a Friday, and our thought for the day on Friday, May the 16th, it's quite short and something that you hear every day, not every day, but time is money. What does that mean? So the proverb means that time is a valuable resource, just like money, and should be used wisely and productively. So it emphasized the idea that wasted time equates to lost opportunity to earn or achieve something meaningful. So it highlights the importance of acting promptly instead of actually wasting time, as delays may cost more in the long term or in the long run. So today's thought of the day, time is money, and start running. So because wasting it actually, you know, it will be cost in the long run. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and I'm Michael Chiavelli, on Unpacking the Day. Thanks for joining us. So yeah, stay tuned. When we come back, we will get into our story, our first item on the show. So we'll be trying to get to our first guest on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safasana, Longishifa, Yai, Shivikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongotisamweni, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Ikelefem Media House. Ngoe 23 Meha, Ukakombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodarahi tatu imu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oliaj. Eagle FM, the high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. If you just joining us, and yes, you are tuned into Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So Namibia's mining sector is growing really, really rapidly and becoming a key driver of economic development, job creation, and international investment. Yet this expansion comes with significant trade-offs that are too often maybe overlooked. While the industry fuels national progress, it also leaves behind environmental challenges that could outweigh its benefit if not addressed responsibly. Abandoned and unrehabilitated mine sites across the country serve as a stark reminder of the sector, of the sector's environmental footprint. These sites contaminate soil and water, disrupt ecosystem, and pose a health risk to surrounding communities. So as Namibia embraces new opportunities such as lithium mining and green hydrogen projects, the pressing question remains, are we building an industry that prioritizes sustainability, or are we risking a long-term environmental and social cost for a short-term economic gains? Today, I'm joined by Dr. Sioni, Dr. Sioni Ikela, a dean and a lecturer at International University of Namibia in the Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Science. Good morning, Dr. Ikela, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, good morning, Namibia. Thank you very much, Anger FM, for having me.
All right. So, can you, maybe from the beginning, just from the beginning, can you provide an overview of how mining activities are impacting Namibia's environment as the sector actually expands?
Well, thank you very much. I must really salute and thank Inger FM for always having pertinent discussions on issues that are closer to the Namibian people, the growth of our nation. First, maybe before I go into the question, I just want to say, recently I was in South Africa for the meeting on natural gas, actually called a natural gas symposium, and the people that attended that meeting were placing our country for advancing good policies, strategies in terms of extracting our natural resources, and it made me thinking that as Namibians, do we really pause and look into these things and tap ourselves on the shoulder and say, indeed, we have got policies, we have got programs that are ensuring that our resources are extracted in a responsible manner. With that said, I would like to say, you see, mining as one of the main contributor to our GDP, it's a sector that needs to be jealously guarded to ensure that sustainability play its role in the sector. While we are here, I would like to highlight that sustainability encompasses three pillars, so that is economy, environment, and society or the people. Now, most of the time, if we are not striking the balance, we'll end up maybe addressing one or two of the three, and we neglect one. That's why it's very important in our engagement, in our when we set up policies, to ensure that we speak to all the pillars that are within the scope of sustainability. When investors comes in our country, we must make sure that their interests meet our interests as a nation. Of course, our interest is supposed to be on top of this, because we are the one that has got resources. And then the investors are only bringing money and technology. So on the table, we are bringing the resources. But the mistake that most of our policies and laws that we have, they do not put monetary value on the resources that we have. That's why it's always a challenge when people are negotiating with the investors. They are told and they are intimidated with the issue, we are bringing money, we are bringing technology and skill. For us as a nation, we say we have our resources. This is the value we attach to these resources. So in terms of sustainability, Mike, we are not doing, in terms of the environment, we are not doing very well, because I think sometimes it's the capacity that we have as a country, not institutional, not in terms of law, because laws and policies, they are very good.
Yeah.
But when you, for us to implement this, that is where the problem is. Do we have inspectors that are equipped with the know-how?
Yeah.
Do we have financial resources to have these people mobile? Do we have enough inspectors that are actually ensuring that the operations of our mines are within the scope of our laws and policies?
Yeah.
This is where we have a problem, because in your introduction, you mentioned that there are a number of
sites, mining
open
sites.
Open pits or mining sites that are abandoned.
Yeah.
It's really worrisome, and they are a lot. But then some of these mines started before we obtained our independence.
Yeah.
Now, when we obtained our independence, we supposed now to make sure that we come up with we start a new era where whatever was decided before, at least there are some leeway on how to bring them into power with what we want as a new nation. But maybe it was done, but it was not maybe enough or sufficient to really oblige this investor to make sure that when they cease operation, at least they rehabilitate the site. Research is also one thing that is also missing in our operation, because maybe we are not yet there, but it's very, very important that we also look at what are the scientists saying in the context of this open pit.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very important we protect our landscape, we protect our resources, we protect our people, because sometimes people are leaving mines. Maybe they have been using some chemicals, and these chemicals are left there untreated, maybe some wastewater there, untreated, and then this chemical or wastewater issues goes into the water cycles that will be getting to our people in future.
Yeah.
So it's very important that when we are dealing with these things, the issue of sustainability, we look at it, and nothing must be left out. So all the pillars of sustainability need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And we can only do this if we implement and we have capacity in terms of inspectors, in terms of resources in the country.
Yeah. Just also going back at least to what you mentioned, as I said earlier on, there are over 250 abandoned mines in Namibia. So generally, what kind of environmental hazard do this site actually pose?
It depends on what type of mining activity has been happening at the site.
Yeah.
So, like in the mining language, I think that is what they call tiring. So, if people are abandoning this mine, and there has no attempt to deal with tiring or tiles or tiring, then what is going to happen is that you are going to have waste that are left there untreated, and then the people are leaving to the environment and the people to actually deal with that situation. So which is not good, because we need to make sure that after mining operation ceases, the rehabilitation takes place, so that at least even if the environment is not turned to the 100% of how it has been before the mining, at least there's some sort of rehabilitation to make the landscape look good, or maybe the mining open pit turned into something else. In other countries, those pits are turned into agricultural activities because most of the time the soil around those mines become more fertile and be used for agricultural purposes. But only if rehabilitation and the proper treatment is done in case of some chemical that has been used there. Well, or maybe for tourism activities.
Yeah.
But then you cannot do anything if the area is not rehabilitated.
But, Doctor, why is site rehabilitation seem to be a challenge in Namibia?
I think it has to do with our laws, because I think before people were not compelled to rehabilitate. I think it's only recently, in recent years, that the issue of rehabilitation was taken serious and is reflected, I think, in our policies. And I think to some extent, investors are expected to have budgetary provisions to this activity, rehabilitation. Like I'm saying, before, our former colonizers, their interest was not about our country. Their interest was to extract our resources and go and build their country, like South Africa, Germany, Britain, and other things.
Yeah.
So that's why they care less about the people that are living in the surrounding areas of the mining site. They care less about the environment because for them, they came here to get the resources and go build their nations or their countries. So that is really, but now, as a nation, we now need to make sure that these things are not repeated. And
but having about, even if some coming from the colonial era, but having about 250 sites that are abandoned and not rehabilitated, that's also indicating that we're not really, either the measures and policies currently in place are not effective.
The issue is you cannot implement laws retrospective. So that's where the challenge is. But if one day we have somebody who, a government that is radical, I mean, I'm looking forward to see a government or our government saying, you bought, for example, now you have got Rossing. I think it's now in the head of a new owners. That was now opportune time for us to say, look, I know when this mine started operation, they were not compared to issue of rehabilitation. It was not prominent in your engagement, but now our country has taken a law, or have come up with a law that upon ceasing of operation, you have to rehabilitate the area or the environment. Really, I like your direction of thinking to say we really need to do something because it's just not good to have an area that is distracted because of mining. Of course, we need to do mining activity because there is no a country that that is bestowed with resources and they are not using that resources just because we have to protect the environment. What is needed is to strike the balance and ensure that when we are using our resources to build our countries, we are not damaging the environment. Or if we damage the environment, at least we rehabilitate. The truth, Mike, is for you to build your country, you have to do some damages. There is no way you would develop your country without doing any little damage to the environment. But then rehabilitation is very, very important.
Yeah. The other area, uranium mining, for example, and the green hydrogen projects require large amounts of water. So yes. How is this demand and being managed? And is the construction now of the second desalination plant, would it be enough now to address some of these shortages? So we know already that normally mining industry really increase water scarcity in the country, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem is I have with green hydrogen. When I must indicate that I don't have a problem with them operating in the country, but I have a problem with the transparency.
Yeah.
I think green hydrogen proponents, they are not transparent, they are not open, and their discussion, when they discuss with the people, they only focus on the positive side of green hydrogen. What they're supposed to do, they're supposed to make sure that they are open, they inform the Namibian people of the good and the bad of the green hydrogen.
Yeah.
For example, the people that are operating in UIS.
You are getting in the area where there is a little bit of an echo, Doctor.
Okay, I'll leave out very soon.
Mm.
But yeah, while I'm getting out, I'm just saying the people that are operating in the area of UIS.
Yeah.
They are getting water from boreholes.
Mm.
Now, those boreholes, according to my knowledge, is that those aquifers around with their fossil aquifers, meaning those aquifers, they is actually made up of water that has been there many years ago, as the core of Earth has been shifting here and there.
Yeah.
So the water stuck amongst the rocks there.
Yeah.
And they cannot be recharged. Now, and we are saying green. How green is that green hydrogen when you are abstracting water from a fossil aquifer to water your process of green hydrogen? Because what it means in the long run, those aquifers will run dry. And the whole area become brown.
Yeah.
So it's not good. What they're supposed to do is maybe to make sure that they have enough water resources that is able to be recharged.
Yeah.
For example, getting water from the ocean. I think there is a plan that they are going to get water from the ocean.
Hmm.
However, again, when you are getting water from the ocean, they're supposed to be open to the Namibian people and say, look, we are going to desalinate this water at a larger scale, but this is the side effect. The side effect is we are going to have a brine that we are going to get when we are actually desalinating this salt water. And this brine we are going to have a reverse flow. We are going to pump it back into the ocean. And then they explain the side effect of this brine. Because brine is a high concentrated salt that is going to be to be sent back in the ocean. And it will affect the salinity of the ocean. Maybe the one can come up with the argument of saying there is the process of dispersion.
Yeah.
Of course, it is there. And we have got strong waves, but in the immediate area where this brine will fall, it will affect the living organisms that is in that area.
Yeah.
And this is what's supposed to be explained to the people, so that the people in the fishing sector understand this, so that the Namibian people that are consumers of our resources in the ocean understand this thing. Because remember, our ocean is a national heritage.
Yeah.
Therefore, anything happening there, the Namibian people have got the right to know what will happen. But the colleagues or the proponents of green hydrogen, they are not open. Like I said, there will be no economic activity that will not have a harm on the environment. But what needs to be done is the people must be made aware.
Yeah.
Awareness must be made. Openness must be there. Stakeholder must be engaged transparently so that everybody understands. This is what I want to say about the green hydrogen. That going into this, for example, so green hydrogen, I think, site that is planned in the south.
Yeah.
It's planned at the high spot, or hot spot for biodiversity.
Yeah.
In the succulent area. What needs to be done again, people are supposed to be open. They identify the types of plants that are there, and then they are planned to rehabilitate. Where are they going to take this plant? Because this plant can be moved to any other places or adjacent places. But you would not hear anything about that coming from the proponents of this green hydrogen. There, I have a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you believe that there's some kind of it lacks some long-term solution, first of all, to ensure that there is water sustainability in mining operation, for example.
Recently I wrote an opinion that I shared on my social network. Namibia needs to have what is actually we have in energy, because there's that approach of energy mix hub.
Yeah.
So we need to have it also in terms of water. Any chance of us getting a source of water, we must grab that chance.
Yeah.
So that we will not rely on one source of water. And I'm telling you, maybe this good rain that we received this year, this can happen in the next 4 years. Because if you check the trend of our rain, it's always like that, 4 years, 5 years, a good rain, and then it goes again. And I'm quite sure, if we could not have received good rain this year, we are going to be in trouble because our dams dried up.
Yeah.
Now we need to be serious. Mining activity require a large amount of water. Now as a nation, and we know that mining contribute massively to our GDP, we suppose now to make sure that researchers are done to come up with opportunity of having different sources of water. This year, when it was raining, a lot of water ran into the ocean. Why? Because I think we do not have a mechanism of harvesting this water. And I was telling some people yesterday to say, we must not just talk about harvesting rainwater, yet we don't know how much water our environment needs. Because we have to be fair to the economy, we have to be fair to the environment, we have to be fair to the people.
Those three pillars that you mentioned.
In all these things, now what we need to do is, the government supposed to sanction studies, research, to establish environmental water requirements so that when you abstract water from these ephemeral rivers we have, or perennial rivers we have, we are not being unfair to the downstream of these rivers. Because the environment, the living organisms that are there, the people that are living downstairs there, downstream there, they need to benefit from this water.
Do you think there is a disproportion in terms of how this now, how we use this, how this now distributed, if you like. Do you think there's a little bit of a disproportion between those three area, the three pillars that you have mentioned in terms of economy? Do we focus more now, like now, the mining would be probably use a lot of water, which in maybe in the long term, maybe not now, or even it may be happening now, you don't know. So that in the long term, we may experience really water scarcity due to that.
You see what happened naturally, and that is the economic rule.
Yeah.
Where you get your income is where you save it.
Yeah.
So I would believe that NAM Water, for example, would always make sure that water is available to mine. Because that is where they get water. I mean, they get money.
Yeah.
And actually, they get money to also help other people. So I think taking it from the economic perspective,
yeah,
I would say naturally that this proportion would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you to maintain your operation, you need money.
Yeah.
And that money comes from the industry. Even though you don't forget your people, but you have to make sure that the source of your money is entertained first before the rest.
Mm.
Maybe it's not visible because we did not have a serious crisis.
Yeah.
But I know it would have happened.
Yeah.
Look at the electricity. In South Africa, there are a lot of load shedding, but we get also our electricity, some percentage from there, but we don't feel it because they have to make sure that Namibia is serviced because they are cash cow.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So, but what I really want us to do as a nation is to make sure that we have got a lot of water sources,
yeah,
available in the country. And how do we get there? Through research. Through government using institutions of higher learning to do these studies. Actually, people are out there saying institutions of higher learning are doing nothing. Yes, they are doing nothing because the government is not using them.
Yeah.
For people to do research, they need money. Now, how can institution of higher learning go and do studies if there is no money? In this country, as much as we say, it's our dream that by 2030, we want to be a research-based economy.
Mm.
Our actions are not speaking to that. Because there is no fund, even if you want to do a critical study,
yeah,
there is no fund available for you to be assisted. Because if I have to do this environmental water requirement a study in this country, I can tell you it will go into millions. Because for you to do it, there are a lot of parameters, a lot of components that you have to consider into this. And you will need a lot of money to carry out this thing.
Yeah.
For you to do it, you need money. Who is to give you money? That person is not there.
Yeah. So there is also an issue of maybe, what is this, call it maybe a regulatory oversight where some mining operation reportedly proceed without valid environmental clearance certificate. How does this happen, and what are the implications?
You see, you are speaking about environmental impact assessment, so that they get environmental clearance.
Exactly.
I have been having a problem because what it means is a proponent appoint a practitioner to do the environmental impact assessment. Mike, if you are my boss, because if the moment you appoint me to do a study for you, you become my boss.
Yeah.
Do you think I will write anything or recommend anything against what you want to do? Only a very few of would have the stamina to write things or to tell the truth to bosses.
Yeah.
Because people do not value honesty. They value money. And the genuine practitioner supposed to ready to say, look, as much as your idea is good, the negative impact surpasses the positive.
Yeah.
In this area, there's a red flag. In this area, there's a red flag. In this area, there's a red flag. Therefore, I recommend that this activity cannot continue. So that is where the problem is.
Mm.
My suggestion is government, through the Ministry of Environment, must create an independent body that must regulate the issue of environmental impact assessment.
Yeah.
How? If I want to come up with an activity that is listed, I go and pay money into this body.
Mm.
The body appoints an independent practitioner to do the EIA. And under no certain circumstances that...
Dr. Ikela, we're quickly going to the commercial and then we'll be back, okay?
Okay. Mm.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, just finish the point that you were making. Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying under no circumstances that the proponent and the practitioner supposed to know each other.
Mm, yeah.
Because this is really where we are going very wrong.
Then if we follow your the logic, that logic, it means that foreign investment become our bosses, and we probably then we say what our bosses want to hear, isn't it?
Exactly, because you are paying for my bread, and me, I have a direct interaction with you.
And that would be actually, you know, you're betraying your country. You're betraying, you know, your country. Just in that way.
The truth, Mike, is many of our people are patriotic to money.
Yeah.
As opposed to the country. And I have been seeing these things. You would hear this activity was given environmental clearance. And I don't blame people that are giving those environmental clearance. Because they give those environmental clearance depending on the report they are getting from these practitioners of environmental impact assessment.
Mm.
So we really need, and I'm not saying all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, naturally, it will be difficult for somebody to go against the boss.
Mm.
Because that's where you are getting your money.
So, okay, just from your experience, how does Namibia's regulatory framework compare to international standard for mining oversight?
I think we came up with these things, benchmarking what is happening in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But a best practice can be best today. Mm. And bad tomorrow. That's why I believe in adaptive learning.
Mm.
So when you realize that things are not working, be innovative, come up with something new.
Yeah.
So that will help you in ensuring that you are doing the right thing. And I'm telling you, Namibia is bestowed with a lot of natural resources.
Yeah.
The extraction will continue. So what we need to do is to make sure that we come up with new things that respond to the activities that is happening recently.
Mm.
And therefore, we need to be careful. I repeat again, there is no a country or a nation that will develop without negative impact on the people and then on the environment. No way. But what we need to do is to make sure that we have mechanisms, we have mitigation measures that are really in the interest of the people and the country.
Mm. There has been some instance of pollution which have been reported, some at sites like Rosh Pinna and also in Tsumeb, you know. So what steps are being taken to monitor and mitigate pollution, from mining operations?
You see, first, like in terms of Rosh Pinna, I think you are talking about that heavy metal.
Yeah.
What needed to be done is a study. I proposed a study to Rosh Pinna. I was given a clearance in terms of ethics by the ministry. But then what happened is history. I don't know. It never come off the ground. Because what we need to do first is to determine whether this heavy metal is really coming from the mine, or is the type of geology in that area.
Yeah.
So that you come up with a mitigation strategy to reduce the spread of these things. Because the bad thing is the lead that was found to be among the kids would mean it will have severe impact on the life of these kids. And they will either be unhealthy or they will deliver kids in future that are not healthy and all that. So now, that's why I'm saying we are saying we want to be a research-based society or nation by 2030, but yet we do not take research serious.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we are too reactive. We need to be proactive so that the solutions that we come up with are well-informed and they are in the best interest of all the stakeholders. So now, what also worries me is that I think our inspectors, if we have them, maybe they are also not doing the job. Because the truth is you cannot have a location that is too adjacent to the mining activity. When these mining towns were developed, okay, some are coming from colonial era, but now we are here in our own dispensation. We supposed now to come up with new strategies in terms of town growth. You cannot have a town growing towards mining area. That thing is catastrophic in its own. And we cannot blame colonialism, because these things are also happening now. What we need to do, or we needed to do, is to say there is a buffer zone between the mining operation and where the people are settling. Enough so that we don't have this thing. For me, people must, a mine must be maybe 10 kilometers away from a town. So that its negative impact cannot reach the people. You talk about radiation. That is associated with uranium activity. When you have a mine that is mining uranium and is closer to the people, what does it mean? And I want also to bring in the component of solar systems that we have in this country, where huge solar fields are established next to the people.
Yeah.
It's also not correct. But what we need to do, our inspector, health inspectors, if we have them, or mining inspector, or whatever they are called, I think they are also failing the nation to the to a certain extent.
Mm.
And we need to correct this. Because I'm saying Namibia is bestowed with a lot of resources. Therefore, we have to make sure that we have got good mechanisms to avoid some of these things not to repeat itself.
So, you mentioned earlier also the stakeholders. So, what role does community engagement play in addressing the environmental impacts of mining? And are affected community being heard? Are they being heard?
Community, if the people, maybe let's take it from the perspective of customary law, traditional leaders.
Mm.
You know, first, before this modern system of governance we have, traditional leaders were there. That's why customary law is very much recognized in the in our constitution.
Yeah.
The people are the owner of resources, and government is taking care of these resources on behalf of the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's very important that they are consulted, their voices are heard and considered in the plan, in the operation of this mine.
Yeah.
Because local people will be the first one to be hit by any negative impact of an activity.
Yeah.
And if they are not well informed, you are going to have a problem. Let's take an example of said mining in this country. You have a lot of open pits, unrehabilitated, especially in the central north.
Yeah, yeah.
When these people are actually greedy business people, are harvesting scent.
Mm.
The whole area is dusty. What is the consequence? People are coughing, TB because of dust. I did a study on sand mining and developed a framework.
Yeah.
Now, some community, they are not able to cook during the day because it's dust all over.
Yeah.
And the pit is just next, maybe even less than half a kilometer away from their house.
Mm.
Now there's somebody who is.
I have even seen houses hanging on the edge of the pit that has been created.
Exactly.
Mm.
Now you have somebody who is suffering from high blood pressure, and must first eat before taking those pills. And because of this, this person is unable to cook.
Yeah.
Hence, the person is taking pills on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
You see, we neglected the society and the environment, and we only focus on the economy. So these things need to be regulated.
Yeah.
And these people, most of the time, they are given environmental clearance certificate through the traditional authority.
Mm.
Who is wrong there?
Would be the right people actually to give that? Shouldn't be some people who at least have an understanding of the risk that is involved?
No, the clearance certificate is given by Ministry of Environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Ministry of Environment is giving this certificate depending on the report from the practitioner.
Mm.
But like I said earlier, these practitioners are paid by the proponent.
Exactly, yeah.
So they will make sure that they cook this report. Sometimes they will even be there saying community were consulted, but it cannot be true. That's why I'm saying we need to make sure that we have got really, as much as we have good laws, we have to make sure that the operationalizing of these laws are checked.
Yeah.
And within the balance. Because otherwise, our people will suffer. And there is no way you can develop this country without sand. We have to mine sand because we have to construct our buildings, our hospitals, and so on. Like now, the government is saying, you know, when you listen to the sonar of the president, which laid good programs in place, almost in every region, there will be a construction of a stadium.
Yeah.
Which means now, the harvest of seed will be intensified. We now need to make sure that without derailing the progress of government, there are proper mechanisms on how these people that harvest sand, that they will sell now to the people that are going to construct, is done properly. Because otherwise, people are going to use a national program to damage the environment.
Yeah.
And that is what, and I must be heard correctly, I am not against harvesting of sand. What I'm saying is, things must be done orderly and in a sustainable manner. Meaning you consider the people, you consider the environment, you consider the economy.
All right, before I let you go, are there any innovative technologies or practices Namibia can adopt to make a mining more sustainable?
Of course, there are mechanisms out there.
Yeah.
And the technologies that people use. What we need to do as a country, we have the responsibility to make research. And these things can only be unveiled or can only be found through research and benchmarking. What are the people doing in other countries? And sometimes I ask myself, why do politicians and the executive people travel the world?
Yeah.
They travel the world, they go to people with good technology, but when they come back to this country, maybe because of the distance, in this traveling, they already forget. we need to really make sure that, Mike, we adopt good practices, good technology from elsewhere. We were talking about the issue of Tumemp, the issue of
Rospina.
The solution to that is proper, deep research, pragmatic research need to be done so that we find the sources of these problems and be solved. We cannot solve them if we are just reactive. But we need to be proactive. Government must begin to use institution of higher learning for innovation and for a cutting edge researchers. If we want to find solutions to the problem we have in this country.
All right. Looking ahead now, what are the most critical environmental issues in Namibia that needs to be addressed to balance, you know, the mining growth for our economy and also environmental sustainability?
You see, if you look at the food web, human beings need environment. Environment needs us also when we die. So therefore, we must make sure that what we do to Mother Nature will come back to us. Therefore, what we need to do, Mike, is to make sure that as a government, as private sector, as individual and collective, we create synergy in our thinking, in our operation, in our planning. So that what the left head is doing, the right head knows.
Yeah.
What the right head is doing, the left head knows. To say the truth, we have good laws.
Yeah.
The problem is implementation. And we have been singing about implementation for maybe two decades.
Bro. For kingdom come. Yeah.
The reason why we don't change is because when we recruit bodies. And we deploy people with no capacity.
Yeah.
I don't want to insult anyone, but the truth, capacity in terms of knowledge, experience, and know-how is very, very important if we want to deal with the issue of implementation.
Yeah.
We must make sure that when we deploy people, we deploy them in the area that they have strength. Me, there is no way you can take me and become an ED in the Ministry of Justice.
Mm.
There is no way you can take me to become an ED or a director in the Ministry of Gender.
Yeah.
But if you take me to fishery, water, mining, I'm okay because that is my area of operation and I have strength on it.
Yeah.
That's why we need to make sure that we use talents correct. Namibia is full of talents, but we don't use these talents correctly.
Mm.
I don't know why. It's maybe because we are still stuck in body issues.
Yeah.
But it should be about the country. It's not about bodies.
Yeah.
Well, the moment we do away with these things, I can tell you Namibia will be heaven on earth, where everybody would want to come because we have got to, our oxygen is clean. The air is clean. We breathe in clean oxygen.
Yeah.
We have enough space. We have peace. We don't have natural catastrophes.
Yeah.
Namibia is a country where everybody would want to live. But I am telling you, we are in a process of destroying this because we have got the right laws, but we are not doing the right things because there is no synergy. Our efforts are not synchronized. Agencies of government are doing things that are contradicting each other of one government.
Yeah.
Private sector are not helping the government because they are doing things that are against the policy of government. Mm. And they know it. They know that. And there's nobody to hold them accountable because inspectors are not there.
Yeah. So, and finally, anything else that you deem necessary for our listeners to be informed about on this topic?
What I want to tell the Namibian nation is we must be available for consultations when they are happening in our area.
Yeah.
We must make sure that our voices are heard. We must not be against progress.
Yeah.
But we must make sure that the right things are done. Because when the right things are done, it's in the best interest of government that represents the people, is in the best interest of the environment, that is actually keeping us going, giving us a lot of ecosystem services, be it clean air, water, the space we live in.
Yeah.
And I really want our government to listen to the people and take research serious and make money available to the people who want to do research. And I want to wish the Namibian people, the Namibian government, the Namibian leaders well. So that in our thinking, we think well.
Mm.
So that we build a nation that is well.
All right.
For the future that is well.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Ikeda, for really shedding light on the critical balance Namibia must actually strike between mining growth and environmental responsibility. And this conversation really serves as a reminder that while economic growth is vital, it should never come at the cost of our environment or the well-being of the future of our generations. Thank you for coming through this morning.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's Dr. Ikela, Sioni Ikela, giving us really quite a depth information on this topic of environment sustainability when it comes to can Namibia really balance mining growth with environmental responsibility. So when we come back, I'll open up the line and you may have your reaction or your contribution.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongo Tisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Eagle FM Media House, Way 20 Meha, O Kakombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora hita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o miyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And my name is Mike Oshoveli. So now you are most welcome to come through, to our telephone number is 083-66-091, 083-66-091. So, and basically we're looking, we really went deeper a little bit looking at the mining sector, which is actually growing. And becoming, as we know, it's a key driver of our economic development, which also creating jobs and also create international investment, become an opportunity for international investment. So yet, this can also, it can also, you know, there are other issues that if they are overlooked, which some of the, of those have, there must be some kind of a balance between, he mentioned three pillars, between the economy and the environment and the society. Those three pillars, there must be, we have to strike a balance between those. So if we become more driven, by economy, then the environment and the people may suffer because of the damage that may come from your pursuit of your driven driven by the economy operation. So yeah, and basically it's looking at creating a balance, striking a balance between those are three pillars. And he really explained that very, very, very well. So you're most welcome to come through and have your opinion. Our telephone number again, 083-66-091. 083-66-091. So Yeah. So what are you saying? What are your thoughts and what are your opinion when it comes to this issue? So because we have really, as I said earlier on, we have some report of people instance of pollution which has been reported on site like in Los Pinos and also in Tumeb. So that really, you know, cause health risk to local communities. There has been record, you know, and report on other mining areas in some other mining areas, how that actually, first of all, sometimes destroy. And he was talking about sometimes this mining are very closer to the communities and sometimes destroying the community heritage. Things for the community that they deserve for heritage, maybe heritage monuments or whatever the case may be. We continue after this.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Welcome back. Yeah. So, yeah, there has been several issues that, when it comes to mining that need to be dealt with. First of all, we're talking about, there's also water scarcity. That, you know, if that is not, you know, controlled and managed well, that can become a problem. And, he explained that very well as well. So, also talked about the site rehabilitations. So currently we have about over 250 abandoned mines, you know, in Namibia. And, there hasn't been done, they were not rehabilitated. And that goes with sand mines and other minings as well. So, so those are some of the issues that we talked about, and also pollutions and health risk that also involved in which could and has affected some local communities closer to mining sites. So yeah, and also really where he also talked about that we have good policies, but you know, the implementation of that are really, really, really very poor. Yeah. So, yeah. And, what else? So you're most welcome to come and have your contribution and, or your take of what we have discussed or the topic itself. So what is your contribution? What is your take? A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dr. Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How is yourself?
My brother.
Yeah. Are you driving or what? So
yeah.
There's a little bit of sound. It's Dr. Sioni. Dr. Sioni Ikela.
That's who?
Sioni.
Sioni.
Yeah, Ikela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's from the university. He's actually a dean. In this faculty of, what is that faculty? Let me see where is his name?
Where I am with the network is cutting a bit, man. I think I need to move.
Well, I can hear you, but unless you don't hear me.
Yeah, because it was like a cutting. Yeah, but now I can hear you. Yeah. I just heard that the Master Sion from what? Secretary? For
Dr. Sioni Ikela. He's a dean and a lecturer at International University of Management.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am. You know, he's talk a lot of things which are making sense, especially when it comes to AD and the people are doing a representative like what? When it comes to mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also. I think when also the people who are giving the what clear certificate.
Yeah.
Mm. You remember we talk about this one. They say no. Mm. We have people who are making a decision on behalf of others,
yeah,
who are living in the area, but the decision may be made in even like in a place like in window. But you are maybe living in let me in our Shkoto or Angwena, where same meaning is taking place, but the clear certificate will have to come from what window. Without consulting the people who are living in the area.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, this is an issue I think it has been overlooked. And most people who have been consulted are either local authority and the local authority, some they don't really care about what the area where they are controlling. Because some of them, you know, now that we have people who are just also been chosen randomly.
Mm.
Not anymore like inherited, like you are Michael or seven, you are hearing from your father, that village. And it become part of your what? The family structure.
Yeah.
You cannot allow somebody just come from anywhere to do what send meaning. Where you see even the house, I think in your Skoto, where the house is even surrounded by what? It's hanging, my friend, you can see that.
Exactly. I have seen the houses hanging just, and,
yeah.
And I think.
And if, just wondering, who's on earth?
Yeah.
Having heart. These people, they are kids who are living there. Maybe the adults don't care. But seriously.
If there comes a heavy rain, maybe 3-4 years follow consecutively, that house could have fallen in that.
It will be washed in that pit wall.
Yeah.
And then you just wonder who is on earth doing this. And up to now, I never see even a strong message come from our politician.
Yeah.
Sending a message for that. No. It's only local people who start complaining about it. But this is still going on. Go to Angwena, it's still going on. Some headmen, they have been to hang themselves because of those.
Mm. I think, and the good point he mentioned is that the lack of research and the person who probably given a certificate clearance would actually do that for, you know, as he said, your boss become the person who give you money. You know? Yeah, so then you definitely, even if there are certain, you know, hazard implications or a possible hazard risk, so that might not be included actually in the report. So I think what he said really make a lot of sense, and whether we like to hear it or not. And the three pillar really help me also get really a picture to say, look, you have to balance those three areas. You know, if you're just driven by the economy, you may left actually your environment looking like, you know, like now we have 250, you know, mines that are not rehabilitated. So, and some of these are actually close. They are not far from the community, from community that living near the mines, and definitely, you know, toxic chemicals and you know might soil and water might contaminated by some of this toxic from the mine, and people use the same water, you know, same environment. So, yeah, it does make sense. And I'm glad that I managed to get hold of him and someone in this area, just to give us those picture. The whole idea, it's really sometimes for us to have a better understanding, not only what you're being told, you know, and we all hear that, you know, the economic growth in terms of mining, how much is mining actually contributing to our economic growth? And we say we get excited and all relating. Yeah, I can't, you know. So, but to whose expense? Sometimes we, you know, we might not calculate well, you know, the risks that are involved if there are not even extensive research, as he said. So in, when the mines are closed, you know, then is when you start to see the consequences of those mines. Then the effect of that on the people, even in the mines themselves, people who have worked there and things like that. So it's very important that, I think, and one thing that we are good at, we have really, really, good policies. I think we go and copy, you know, really what it sounds good. But do we have people, and it's exactly the same thing. Do we have people that, and make an example of that. I cannot go to, Ministry of, I can't remember which he mentioned, but he's more knowledgeable if he's in the fisheries. So definitely he will be able to make any difference. But if he go to other gender and he might not be effective at all because it's not his area of competence. And I think we'd rather not, you know, appoint people on buddy, you know, rather than on the competence. And there's also the thing that we have been talking about when the ED were actually reshuffled, you know, it looked like these people know everything. They, what is it? The master of what is that saying? It's out of my head now. You know, a jack of all trades and master of none, something like that. Jack of all trades and master of none. So it looked like they're jack of all trades. Put me anywhere. I'll do it. You know, yeah, could be jack of all trade, but really master of none. And your impact would be absolutely minimal, you know. So if you're in the area that you're not qualified for, competent, you know, abound. All right, come through. It's a Friday today. It's always Friday, you know. Some people minds already, you know, out of the office. But you got to do what you got to do. Eagle FM?
Yeah, sorry, Mike. Just a bad network.
Yeah.
Yeah, just now I move a bit.
No, it's all right. It's coming
yeah.
back.
Mm. Yeah, maybe what I was saying is that when it comes to like a... Really, when it comes to said meaning, I think they're supposed to be having a committee with our traditional leaders themselves.
Yeah.
Where they are able to control which area is good for mining, not where people are living, then end up the situation what happened to Oshkoto.
Mm.
Yeah. And again, you guys talk about even mining.
Yeah.
I think the inspector, the supported people who have been they attached to the mining and they can be rotated.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I remember last time you guys were having an interview with the former Minister of Energy.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're saying they're only having inspector which are going there after maybe 3 months or after 2 months. Which to us doesn't make it really, I don't think it's this genuine because you never know a partnership which you are having with the company which is mining. You can, if they are going to tell you the truth, how much they discover.
Yeah.
How much even they extracting the, how many, like a diamond or uranium or whatever. Because you don't have so much people who are overseeing the activity. But if you're having somebody who's attached there and is having to report to the government. And this is also a kind of like a job creation also.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now you don't have anybody there. You just wait until the person is telling you how much they discover. How is the even financial situation, I mean, happening? If they extracting maybe like maybe 50 diamonds, they will tell you 30.
Mm.
What are you going to say? if you don't have anything but it overseas.
Yeah.
In the whole process.
Even if anybody can be bought, even the one who overseeing, if said, okay, yeah, you extract 30, eh? Okay.
Yeah.
Two are yours.
Yeah. Exactly. We'll keep quiet.
Two are yours. Yeah. Let's just go and tell we extract 20, you know?
Yeah. We need people to be there.
Yeah.
24 hours.
That has been an issue, which also these companies actually used to avoid tax and all those.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they will tell you, because they just remember this person from extracting is the one in charge to even to the market is the one in charge. You don't have people there representing you in the whole process.
Mm.
Like even where it's, because now remember, they are the one who are extracting here and they send it maybe to their country and their market is in their country because they become a supplier and at the same time also they become a seller's person.
Mm.
And you don't have anybody in between in the whole process. So what I'm saying is that we need people even to oversee what is going on in the whole process, especially when they come to extracting.
Yeah.
There must be people presenting the government. And these people can be even over rotate or you take them somewhere. And this is also happening when it comes to fishery.
Exactly.
The people who are representing us in the boat, most of the captain, they are all from overseas. They will tell you what is happening there, but they won't tell you exactly. Because I was wasting with one gentleman, those one who lost their job. This guy telling me, my friends, in the sea, there's a lot of things. You might find even, what do you call this thing, son? Scrub.
Yeah.
Stuck in the net. And sometimes this scrub, you might find it with they're having diamond.
Yeah.
Because if you have diamond, then there's nothing you can do. Because you guys have been taught that you have to focus on what? Only on fish.
Yeah.
For us on fish, the captain is the one in charge for everything. If they are going to put that thing in the, you never see how they are going to do it, if they are going to put them back in the sea.
No, you never put them back. They are off something catch. There's a term that is being used, and then it became an issue. I think we unpacked something like that. So where, you know, it became an issue that people now, the vessels are making more money from those catches than they are licensed to.
Yeah. More than the quota of fish which they have been given. Because there are too many things. And remember one thing that, you know, as a ocean, things which have been happening in maybe in the UK, you might be overseeing them in your ocean here in Namibia.
Mm.
Because I'm talking about even the old things with you, the tracers. You might find even the tracer from, you know, because in this ocean, there's a lot of things which we don't know as a human being who are living in the rent. Because if you got there, then my friend, I remember this guy saying is even they found a big stone and there was a Spanish ship. The way they take it up to now, that stone never been brought in the rent. It disappear from there.
We
need people to oversee everywhere. Because the government is big and our people, politicians, they think they can control everything. But it's not in some...
I always said, we say a lot, we said we have the expertise, but sometimes we... When you take any areas, if you said, let's say we have software expertise, we have those. Where are we? Why don't we have application in our languages? You know, if we have now these competent people, we always said we have people that are skilled, but even those who are skilled are not getting us where we should be. You understand what I'm trying to say? Are you gone? Mandume? I can't hear you anymore. Well, I can't hear you anymore, Mandume. So, all right. All right. Our time, it's about 3 minutes past the hour of nine. Please do come through and either have your reaction on the interview if you are listening, or just your own contribution, on the whole question of Namibia's the mining. Can Namibia really balance? Can they strike a balance? You know, between mining, economic growth, actually mining growth, and with environmental responsibility. So that's what we have been looking at, with, Dr. Ikela, the interview that I had earlier. All right. While you coming through that, so the train is not going to stop. We are going to go. So, all right. Let me see. If I can get my second person, for another talk, just stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafata na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its...
All right. Unfortunately, it happens sometimes. I can't get to my second guest. Yeah, so our time is 7 minutes past eight. No, not past nine. I'm even getting confused. So yeah, 7 minutes, 8 minutes past nine. I'm actually reading from the other side. So yeah, so all right. Yeah, our telephone number, if you still want to actually have your contribution, it's 0833-66091. So you're most welcome to come through. All right. With how many we still have, actually quite plenty of time for you to come through. All right. So the train should actually move. We should go on. All right. So let's look at what is that? You know, did you know it was yesterday or day or Tuesday? You know, when this when it's about 25%, where was this report? Yeah, so all right. Well, did you know that out of 173 SOEs in Namibia, only 42 submitted their procurement plans for the upcoming financial year, and shockingly, only about 5 managed to submit on time. Out of 173 SOEs in Namibia, only 42 submitted their procurement plans for the upcoming financial year, and only about 5 managed actually to submit on time. So, well, you may think that these are, well, are just numbers, but my friend, this is when you see that, it's a symptoms of a bigger thing. You can't have 173 SOEs and you have only about 42 who submitted actually their procurement plans. That is a symptom of a bigger, more complex issue in our government, in our governance system. So, and what is wrong? What is going wrong? And more important, how can that be fixed? Now, so let's break down why procurement are so crucial for, especially when it comes to SOEs. So now I want you to think of these plans as roadmaps. You know, they detail how public funds will spend, where it is, whether now it is on essential services, like healthcare, infrastructure, or education. So it's a detail of how public funds will be spent. So when these plans are delayed or missing, now think about that. So when they are delayed or missing, it's like actually driving. It's like, imagine driving blindfolded, you know? When you're driving blindfolded, so, you know, inefficiency now, when it comes now to performance, inefficiency will creep in. Resources are misallocated, and us as citizens, ordinary people like you and me, we bear the brunt. Definitely, who suffers? It's us. That's definitely, because those are services that we're supposed to receive, but you know, we haven't received them how do we then account? We cannot even also account because they are not available. And in Namibia, procurement issues have been a recurring challenge. And there was a time I, on here, I brought everybody in the sector from, you know, from every angle, you know. So, as I said, it have been a recurring challenge. So, with some emergency purchase becoming a norm in Namibia, really. And that's also encouraged. It really has been encouraged. So when you think of it, it might sound harmless at first, but these emergency purchases bypass a competitive bidding. And when you bypass that, that often results in, you know, in inflated cost, and also poor value for money. Yeah, that's why there is that competitive bidding. Now, so when now we talk about only 5 SOEs submitting their plan on time, we are essentially looking at a systemic that is struggling to function. That's what we see. Now, what is the missing ingredient here? What is the missing ingredient? One of that is really transparency. Transparency or lack thereof, you know? This is at the heart of this problem. So, procurement, as we said, are plans. Procurement plans are meant to be public document, accessible to everyone. But how often do we see them actually? The APPR, the Institute of Public Policy Research, has raised serious concern about this. And when these plans are not available, it becomes impossible for us to really hold the SOEs accountable. So how do you hold them accountable when these plans are not available? So now think about the consequences. Without public oversight, what is stopping now corrupt practices from flourishing? Because how do you oversee that? So, well, it is no secret that system not transparent become, you know, especially in an area where you have systems that are not transparent, they are, you know, how would I say it? Give it you know, like they are fertile ground, you know, for misuse of funds. This is where now you normally have opportunity to misuse of funds. When you have systems that are not transparent. And here's the point. So when corruption infiltrates procurement, well, think about it. It's not just about the stolen money. Think about fish rot and other things, and even fish rot. It's not just about the stolen money. It's about a missed opportunity to improve, for example, lives, where you build schools, you know, provide medicine, those things that we left. It's a missed opportunity to improve those services. And a living standard of people. It's not just about stolen money. So you have taken something away, you know, which should have been able to improve people's life, whether it's building schools or it's a medicine that we need quite often in health service facilities. So that's what it means. Now, so there is also a talk about the procurement code.
All right. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Buena.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Mm.
Yes, when you were now discussing about those issue with your guest,
yeah.
Doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor...
Ikela?
Making me.
Mm.
Excuse me?
I said Dr. Ikela, yeah? Mm.
Dr. Ikela, yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Ikela is mentioning about good policies, strategies, and issues of that nature.
Yeah.
In place. And you have also alluded to the problem of implementation.
Yeah.
Now, the question of sustainability. And also now, let's maybe now talk about how to sustain life. The sustainable development.
Yeah.
And we know very well that the concern of the environment, it is one of the first things that need to be done when they are doing this environmentally impact assessment. And for them to determine now whether the project that is there is viable, if it's viable, what impact does it have to the natural habitation? So now, all those things, before any, of course, they could be like the other case we had of the Chinese company where they were just given the license to explore and they ended up, you know, digging.
Yeah.
They ended up digging. So now, the issue of sustainability in relation to this exploration, mining, or any other activity that you are doing.
Yeah.
I did not hear that one. Maybe I missed the point in your conversation with the doctor.
Yeah.
So because everything has to be done in a sustainable manner.
Mm. Actually, he have given a very... a balance, I think, a balance perspective, where he indicated that there are three pillars of economy, economic pillar, and environment, and society. And he said sometimes we are more driven by economy, and then forget about the impact that would have on environment and also on the people. And he tried to explain how then we can strike a balance between those three pillars. It was really good when he mentioned that.
I missed that particular explanation.
Yeah.
But from what I'm now saying is that we are now trying to sustain the environment.
Yeah.
And because the environment is number one, because we all survive on the environment.
Yeah.
The resources and whatever we have is from the environment.
Mm.
Therefore, the society as a whole, and you know very well that it's mostly the society, the members of the society who perhaps sometimes we destroy the environment. I'm not just talking about confining it to the mining. But when you just look at the whole environment, sometimes we don't utilize those resources in a sustainable manner.
Yeah.
If the balance was to strike there, then obviously, and if these projects are not bringing those pillars as mentioned, and there are somewhere where maybe there are loopholes, or maybe in terms of registration or whatever, I think that one can be addressed. I don't know the recommendation that perhaps we gave, but all I'm saying is that if there are good strategy, and I know very well that there are always environmentally impact assessment study done before any commencement of the activity, except where people want to manipulate the rules and, you know.
Yeah, no. That he also confirmed about. He said, well, there are always bad apples, you know, in the bunch, which actually, you know, do things for their own stomach rather than for the community. Yeah.
Well, I think it's fine. Let's see how we can
you know, speed up the implementation of those activities. Because it's true, many a times there are also those bureaucratic, you know, hindrances and all these other things that really hinder the project to be implemented.
Yeah.
And sometimes you will become so...
I'm not hearing you anymore. Is this on my side? I can't hear anymore. Anga Bona, I can't hear you anymore. All right. So, unfortunately, I'm not hearing you anymore. So if you want to come back, it's fine. Yeah, I think maybe it's from my side, because it's also happened. I think it happened, with Mandume, I think. All right. Yeah, no, we still have about 6 minutes to go. Are you back? Good morning. Good
morning, Mr. Osheveri.
Oh, how are you?
Good, man.
Yeah.
I know your line today because there was a particular time where your line seemed to see it was jammed.
Oh, I think yeah, it could be.
Both the studio line.
Yeah, no, it could be. I think there's something that wasn't right. Yeah. You see, I can't hear you now. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask whether you can ask me if I can consolidate the Teco loan of mine, which is...
I think that this is okay. You are on Eagle FM. Something is not right here. So how did you get here? I was with someone talking to someone. Now is you someone? You want let's check or something? Okay. There is something that is not right. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Just put your phone down now. Just for me to see what is going on. You are on Eagle FM. Can you hear me? Anyone can hear me? Guys, I think we need our technical people to check this. Something is not right with our line. Yeah, but come through, some people come through, and then we're able to go through discussion, we're able to talk. Try again and come and see if they said, but it was something strange now. I was talking to a caller and then it disappeared, but I didn't put it down. I didn't cut him off or something. And now someone for Letseko. came through, just while I'm still holding with the other person. So something is not right, maybe right with my line. But try, if you want to come through, we still have a few minutes. If you want to contribute to the topic that we discussed this morning. So, yeah. The other thing is also our e-new newspaper. It's Friday, remember that. And remember to subscribe for your digital copy. Or what you need to do is to send a WhatsApp message to with your name and a telephone number with your name and your email number. I mean your number and your email. To 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So, and then every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, you will be receiving your villager,
your addition of the villager on that particular day. So, and it's for free. It's for free. And there are quite of a great, today's topic. Today is the leading story in our, in the villager is 700,000. How could someone actually, or, 700,000 Namibian dollar worth of cattle stolen, from Namibia to Angola. So I was saying, I thought it, they said 700,000 cattle were stolen. I said, how would you, you steal 700,000 cattle? So yeah, no, 700,000 worth of cattle stolen, from Namibia to Angola. So cattle valued at approximately 783,000 were stolen from Shiyiwe village in Namibia's Kavango East region and in a Mukwe constituency and driven across the border into Angola on the 10th of May 2025. So, and I think there are no reports of them being recovered, I think. So, yeah. So, the other story is SACCU to maintain external tariff despite U.S. reciprocal measures. That's another story in today's edition of the Villager. The Southern African Custom Union, SACCU, has resolved to maintain its common external tariff despite the United States imposing reciprocal tariff on SACCU member state last month. Eagle FM?
Mike.
Yes.
Even when we were talking, man, we did not end, we didn't conclude. I was just talking to myself and then...
I think there's something with my line. It's happened now two times. It's jamming. Someone told me it's jamming. And I realized that I was talking to someone and I'm hearing someone else, you know?
Oh, yeah. There were some echoes and things like that. I think it really goes. Okay, but for me, I finished. I was only concluding.
Yeah, just conclude, then, because we already that come to the end now. Okay.
That there are sometimes issues that hinder our implementation. But sometimes it's just actually our deliberate efforts. To implement those plan and activities and other things.
Yeah.
But it's really true that we just need to speed up and then we make sure that we act properly.
Yeah.
And this issue, we have got good strategy, good policies and things like that, where there are no those who are not responding to the needs and concerns of the environment, like in the community there. I was talking about scholarship and social corporate responsibility. Because people, when they get in there, it's not only to be distribute blankets because of the weather condition now and other things, but you come up with a really tangible project. But the organization, it must start with us in the community, in the area there.
Yeah.
So that you can see, hey, these people are coming, yes. What are your needs, people? Is it the sports field? See, they think, like when they were digging and constructing those roads, every village where they went to construct, there were some holes and things like that. Why didn't they put up some sport field? Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. No, thank you. And thank you for contribution. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We basically come to our end, to the end of unpacking the day. And thank you for those who come through and for your contribution on the show. Please continue to do that. That's what this show is all about. And, well, until Monday for unpacking the day, we will see each other then, Monday. So stay tuned for other programs that are coming your way. Right up is, Mind the Gap with Helmut. Thank you for listening.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye